Welcome to the Fire Up Coaching Podcast, your number one podcast all about the amazing world of coaching. Listen in as this internationally recognized and one of Australia's leading coaching companies share over 20 years of coaching experience and knowledge. We chat with fascinating individuals that will inspire you, industry leaders that will amaze you, and take a look at the current research and trends in coaching to inform you, all to help you ignite the potential within. Get ready to learn, laugh, and level up with our thought-provoking podcast and join us in making the world a better place using the power of coaching and the art of the conversation.
Welcome back to the Fire Up Coaching Podcast, and I'm really excited today to be joined by an incredible researcher, person. She's contributed an amazing amount to the field of emotional intelligence, and Judy, I met when I did my own accreditation for the Roche Martin tool a number of years ago, and I already had certification in emotional intelligence, which means when I say that I was super impressed by this tool, it comes from having a mountain of knowledge about other tools. And whilst I love all of the, you know, complexity of emotional intelligence, what I love about the Roche Martin tool is its applicability and its simplicity. And I also, you know, I am grateful for the support that we get from Judy and from Martin's. Welcome to the podcast, Judy, and thank you so much for making time today.
Thank you so much, Kath. That's a great introduction, and I'm not sure. I hope I live up to your expectations.
Oh, you've already surpassed them. So I guess, you know, for a lot of people, before we even get into what made you curious about emotional intelligence, for people who are a bit confused, because often organisations ask me to come in and train emotional intelligence, and they haven't even done the foundations of self-awareness. How do you define emotional intelligence to a client when they are asking, what is it, Judy? What does it mean for our organisation?
I often ask that question of my audiences, what do you think emotional intelligence is? And they often come back and they think it's about empathy. You know, you've got to be really empathic and you've got to be kind to people and compassionate. I'm like, emotional intelligence is so much more than compassion and empathy. There is a lot of very strong competencies that measure emotional intelligence, particularly when it comes to leadership. So we see emotional intelligence as how you manage your own emotional states, internal, how you manage your confidence, your independence, and those kind of strong skills. Then how you manage emotional intelligence in the space of relating to other people. So how well do you read people? How well do you communicate your message to people? How well do you collaborate with people? And then the third aspect of emotional intelligence is how you manage your emotional states to cope with change and development. It's something, change comes to all of us for the whole of our lifetime. So it's not something we can kind of just say, mastered that one, got that one.
Yeah.
Just when
yeah.
we have the next challenge comes up and we go, oh, it's a whole new game.
Absolutely. And how relevant is that to this current environment that we find ourselves in?
Incredible.
So I'm curious, what made you interested in, or curious is always that, it's the coach's word. We totally overuse it, Judy, but, you know, what made you curious about emotional intelligence?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because in 1996, I was a school psychologist long before I ran a business in emotional intelligence. And at the end of the year, the principal of the school said, I want you all to read this book to all the staff. You need to read this book. It's about emotional intelligence and why it's more important than IQ. And as the school psychologist, I had a little smirk to myself because whilst I knew that the principal was really up to date with best practice on leadership, and he was always telling us about what he was reading and how important this was, I think it was more a matter of him knowing about emotional intelligence rather than practicing it at the time. So the entire staff was hoping that over the Christmas holidays that he too would read the book and maybe demonstrate a little bit of it. So that was right back in the beginning, and I'd not heard of the book. And of course, when I read it, I'm like, this is so in line with my view of what good leadership, what good psychology is all about.
And do you remember which book? Was that the original Daniel Goleman one, or which book was it?
Yeah, that was the original Daniel Goleman, EQ, Why It Can Matter More Than IQ.
And fantastic.
The best-selling book still when it comes to the social sciences.
Fantastic.
So it kind of developed from there, yeah.
Fantastic. And how do you think it's changed your own personal journey, having this understanding?
Well, right back then, my business partner, Dr. Martin Newman, said to me, you know what, I think emotional intelligence is really going to become important in the near future. He said, it's starting to show up in all the leadership on literature, I mean, all the literature on leadership. It's probably just going to be one of those fads that, you know, businesses will take on, then they'll lose interest in it, and move on to the next fad. But he said to me, with our background in leadership, psychology, research, I think it's really worthwhile that we give it some focus in the next few years. And it kind of made perfect sense to us that emotional intelligence skills have to be central to leadership. And now, 22 years on, what we thought was a 10-year fad is now front and foremost in most leadership development programs globally. So that's kind of a bit of a background. But for me personally, I think as I've practiced as a psychologist and as a coach, that what is sort of sits at the base of my understanding of psychology is expressed in our work on these 10 emotional skills that everybody needs to have good mental health and ultimately to be successful in life. I think I've kind of gone around the houses there a bit, but I think the question you asked was, how has it challenged me personally?
Well, it can just change you. Like, I know for myself that it's just been really useful for me to see the areas in the report that when you were sharing with us and we were going through our own profile as we were being taught and debriefed, you know, some of the areas that have been repetitively challenges for me, like straightforwardness. I sometimes, even though I'm an extrovert and I'm quite confident, you know, it was really useful for me to define that in a different way and to recognise, that that area for development. And I think that's what I really enjoyed about it. And I guess, if we think about COVID and relating the skills to COVID, it challenged COVID, like this whole pandemic's challenged all of us, but in what way did you find that COVID challenged some of your emotional intelligence skills and perhaps relate them to the skills so that the listeners can sort of get an idea of what the competencies are?
Well, sort of going back, I felt that because I had worked in this area for a long time, that over the course of the last 20 years and my journey as a psychologist, that I thought I had done pretty well in developing these 10 competencies. They show up well on a test. But as with all things, just when you think you've mastered something, then the challenge comes along in life.
Yeah, exactly.
COVID comes along and I felt like a whole lot of my skills that were very well developed in emotional intelligence were challenged once again. And I had to go back to the drawing board, think about this. How was I going to manage this whole new challenge that was brought to all of us by COVID? So if I go through a couple of the challenges that I found as they relate to our competencies, I think probably the biggest impact that it's had on me is I've always been very optimistic. But before COVID, I kind of felt this quite easy because I knew what my future looked like. I knew what the world of work looked like. Mm. And you kind of make assumptions about life and work that it's just a matter of once you've developed these skills, stay on track and live close to your values. You know, we have a lot of trite sayings about this. And then COVID comes, the world changes. And I found my optimism has been constantly challenged and I have to work really hard. My view of the world has changed. My view of politics has changed. I've seen the power of health authorities. I've seen the impact of on families and my friends and children. And this has been a real challenge to my optimism. So I will always be an optimistic person, but I just find that I have to work much harder at that to find that possibility of what can be in the future and what I can do to keep the world and the world that I live in, the people that I work with, positive and moving forward. Self-confidence was an interesting one because almost overnight, all of my consulting went from face-to-face to suddenly having to present online and
yes.
everything into video and all these IT skills that go with using
yes.
Zoom. And, you know, it felt like this old dog of 64 years old had to learn new skills again. I thought I'd mastered all the ones I needed. But so self-confidence goes when you have those challenges for a little
yeah.
bit. And then you have to practice, practice, practice with a new set of skills, and then it comes back again. And we know that things like self-confidence and optimism, even with a major life challenge, that you kind of return to your general practice over time.
But that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. But you've got to be conscious of that and open to that and willing to change, not just expect the world to stay the way you would like it to be.
And actually, that's very interesting that you say that, Judy, because one of the things I've observed recently, and this is particularly true, I've done a number of face-to-face workshops in Victoria recently, is that that emotional intelligence around adaptability, that because, and it's interesting, there's research around, I think I'll have to look up the researcher's name, I'll find that while we're talking. There's research around when people are put in a room and this was quite controversial research, you might know the name of it, where people were asked to challenge and potentially make other people uncomfortable. And none of them questioned why they were doing that, and they just did it, and they had to make people follow the rules, and then they punished them if they didn't follow the rules. And, you know, the ethics around that research was really questioned because people, you know, people just didn't question it. And the more they punished people, the more they kind of actually started normalizing that behavior and thinking it was okay. And I think that potentially in Victoria, there's a real need for people to reset some of their beliefs around, you know, oh, that person didn't follow the rules, or, you know, you saw it happening in supermarkets where they haven't got their mask on, or, you know, when I was down there, I got a lecture about, you know, not wearing my mask properly. And this was only recently. Yeah. And, you know, so I think there's some of those things that people need to start to actually have a reset button around the impact that staying rigid around some of these things will have.
Yeah, it certainly challenged a lot of people's flexibility. And I was surprised at how many people would very quickly revert to, oh, you're doing the wrong thing, almost yeah. I'm going to tell on you. We kind of go back to childhood playground behaviours, ones okay. things that we thought we had overcome. So, yeah, it's challenged us in so many ways, and people holding different views on what the mandates were and what it should be and what it shouldn't be, and families being divided. So,
yeah, definitely.
To really be adaptable and to be open-minded was quite challenging right throughout that time, and still is, I think.
Yeah, and look, I observe, like, you know, the self-control, which is one of the competencies. I noticed that when I was down there, there's still people who feel like they have the right to jump in and tell someone else what they should be doing. And it's very interesting, you know, that I think, you know, we need to really ramp up some of the other skills. So, you know, when you see someone who's exercising a lack of self-control, what are some of the tips that you can give people for You know, when they're not being that adaptable or not demonstrating a lot of self-control, it's kind of that addicted to being right behavior.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that certainly comes into the emotional intelligence assessment. We kind of look at people's not only their ability to manage themselves, but to be open to other people's opinions. I actually have a lot of people that come and go, I'm really surprised at my adaptability score. I thought I was really adaptable, and this score is saying I'm not so adaptable. I'm like, well, let's dig a little bit deeper and look at some of the items that build into adaptability. And then they find out that they're adaptable as long as people follow their way. So they're not open-minded at all. It's kind of whatever I believe is the right way, and you will adapt to my way. So the ability to be adaptable is sometimes to let go and just to allow people to be who they are without judgment. And we need to kind of move from controlling to observing. You know, you observe your own behavior, you observe the behavior of others, and you let them be. To take the judgment out of that is a difficult thing to do, but a really an emotional intelligent thing to do is to observe and respond rather than react to situations that we don't like.
And actually, I was reading Mark Manson's book this morning. He was talking about how we should all, you know, we should all approach a week as if we're wrong about everything. And, you know, I almost think that's what needs to happen at the moment down there, that people need to go, actually, what if I was wrong about everything I believed for a week? Or, you know, what do you think about that sort of concept?
Wow, it sounds like an interesting role play. But, you know, over the course of a lifetime, I think we have to challenge our views. And no matter where those views come from, you meet people and you meet new people and that will challenge your views. And it's a matter of then saying, can I let go long enough to really listen, to understand and empathise where this person's coming from?
Yeah.
Without having to come back and go, well, that's not how I see things. It's quite a skill.
And I guess, you know, I'll jump forward, Judy, because I think I'm seeing a massive growth in the awareness of emotional intelligence, particularly in the last year. And I'm sure that the reason we've just won, Judy and I were talking off air, we've just won a very large tender in Victoria around teaching supporting emotional intelligence development in leaders. And, you know, how do you see the future of how emotional intelligence is used?
That's really, really interesting because, you know, over the course of working and developing emotional intelligence in leaders globally over the past 15 years, the demand for emotional intelligence in organisations has been about leadership development. How do I grow the best leaders?
Yeah.
How do we change the culture of our leadership to make it more open, to make it more receptive to new generations? And now the demand for many of our global clients is, how does this relate? How does EQ relate to mental health and well-being?
Yes.
And there's so much research that is coming out. Most recently, according to McKinsey, 9 out of 10 employees report COVID-19 having a big impact on the behavioural health and productivity of their particular workforce. And clinicians, psychologists have warned of the destructive and ongoing effect, even past lockdown measures. And we're still seeing the impact of that in the workplace of depression, anxiety, fatigue, and for many, post-traumatic stress coming out of these last couple of years. So kind of to thrive in the new normal, people actually need a much greater psychological resilience and have support around mental health and well-being, because ultimately that affects all of us personally, but it also affects our productivity.
And I think, you know, I really feel for general practitioners at the moment. I've had at least 4 coaching conversations in the last 2 weeks where people didn't know where to go, and went to the GP and they don't have time to counsel. They don't have time to coach. They don't have to spend, you know, that they're already completely overwhelmed by their workloads due to COVID. And hence there is a tendency to prescribe antidepressants because they know that if they suggest to someone to go and get counselling or to see a psychologist, that there's not necessarily those services available. And I think that we're going to see, you know, some pretty negative impacts of people not having opportunities to be surrounded by emotionally intelligent people who can help them to work through their psychological issues without the need for medication. And, it concerns me greatly the amount of people who've had no counselling, no coaching and have started on medications because of, you know, if you look at Lost Connections, Joan Hari's fabulous research around antidepressants, you know, it can be a very slippery road if it's not managed well. So what are your thoughts about that?
Absolutely. And, you know, you were talking about, you know, people try to turn to physicians and the physicians that are available to work in this space are overwhelmed, overwhelmed. I know the Australian Psychological Society is just doing everything to train more psychologists because we know this is going to be the need. Now, while emotional intelligence isn't going to fix people, as people develop their awareness and develop their understanding of how to manage their own emotional states, they're better equipped in general to cope with some of those challenges. Because emotional intelligence focuses on emotional regulation, which is kind of the ability to have control over your own emotional states.
Yeah.
And it enables people to rethink challenging situations and learn how to reduce their anger or reduce their emotional reactions.
Yeah, great.
And probably, I know that Dr. Martin Newman says the number one challenge in the second half of life, and he tells this to every leadership training that he does, is to have a peaceful mind.
Interesting.
Yeah, and when we worked with Sky Television across the top 500 leaders, the thing that they wrote back in terms of their feedback was, what did you like most about the program? And it was the importance of a peaceful mind and how to develop a peaceful mind. So it goes beyond a set of interpersonal skills, leadership skills, to that very intrapersonal skill of a quiet mind and managing your own emotional state and being able to bring yourself back into a place of calm. Not an easy thing to do, but once you understand the concept and you find your own personal way of doing that, it does an awful lot for your mental health.
And, you know, look, it is funny, like I think I've had some experiences with debriefing the emotional competency report now, and I had one particular guy who'd been very difficult for me to coach and just not open. And, of course, when organisations are paying for you to work with people, they're not always that open to you coming in. But I just loved the simplicity of when I showed him his report and he had low self-knowing, very high self-confidence, low empathy, low relationship skills and really high straightforwardness. And the combination of those was like a bull in a china shop is what I call it.
Yeah.
And yet what I loved was that he was able to look at that and go, yeah, and I just asked the question, how does that show up in the workplace? And, you know, he used some expletives to describe how people thought he behaved. But it was so valuable. And, you know, and I must admit that night I was sort of like, it was one of those funny debriefs. But, you know, maybe it's worth sharing, Judy, and without, you know, any breach of confidentiality, but, you know, what's been some of your funny moments debriefing people?
Okay, all right, I have to think about that. I've had many of them. Just trying to see what will come to mind quickly. Funny moment.
Or one that kind of left you like, you know, that wasn't necessarily funny, but it was, well, it was funny in that he said, oh, yeah, everyone thinks I'm a bastard at work. And it was like, you know, but it's also been funny that he went from being, you know, a real critic of the training and the development to much more open to having some more. And I guess that's it. Yeah. So somewhere where you notice it.
A surprising moment I had very recently.
Yes,
I was
great.
Invited into a medical organisation, not on the physician side, but on the administration side of the organisation. And the guy who invited me in, he says, oh, we've got a toxic culture, Judy, and we need to bring our leaders in line with emotional intelligence. And I said, well, you've come to the right place. And I ended up going into his organisation, spending time with each of the leaders and watching their defensiveness. You know, they walk in the door and they use at me now.
Yes.
And then the approach that we take is not to make judgments, not to tell people what they should do or what they shouldn't do, but to kind of understand them. Everybody has challenges. We know that. And then watching their defensiveness come down over the course of doing the feedbacks was really encouraging to me. But what was surprising, the fellow who had brought me in sat down and it was his turn. And he's like, yep, if everybody else is going to do this, I'm going to do it too. And his report showed up as having very good emotional intelligence. And all his people had spoken to him, spoken to me, and that he's great. He's always got our back. He's there for you. He helps you work things through. And he says, I've got to tell you a story, Judy. He said, I didn't have any emotional intelligence in my growing up. I was one of those kids that was bullied. And finally, the bully got his own back. And I had a bit of a payback that didn't serve me well in the school system. So after I was expelled from school, I had to very much decide what I was going to do with my life. And he said, I'm actually on the spectrum and I have learned each one of these emotional skills step by step until I know where to slot it in, where to practice it. And he goes, do you think I'm being manipulative? And I'm like, that's a lot of learning you've done.
Wow.
He said, I've learned it. And I was encouraged by that because we made the assessment so that it would be skill-based. So anybody, whether you're high in natural emotional intelligence or you're low, you can all learn new skills. And he was kind of the living embodiment of somebody who had taught himself the skills of leadership and taught himself the skills of emotional intelligence and knew where to apply them despite his own personality challenges. I was very encouraged by that.
That is fantastic. And I think that's a good distinction, isn't it, around, you know, that our personality, we can't necessarily change that, but that these skills can be learned as leaders.
Yeah.
And how long did it take for you to put together this research, Judy? Because it's so comprehensive.
Yeah, well, it was a very intense few years, I will say that. There was 7 days of work, no work-life balance for a little while. But where it came from was a foundation of originally working in education and then moving from education to clinical psychology. So between the two authors, we had a whole heap of report writing, psychology statements, a lot of background. So it was kind of the culmination of put everything you've learned through education research and through clinical psychology and then adapt it to the workplace and think about it in terms of what the research says about these 10 emotional factors. So I hate to kind of put hours on it, but was quite a few hours. Went into it. And now we sit back and go, it was all worth it because it's really nice to see your life work reflected in something that can have a huge impact on many, many people.
Oh, and look, I can only congratulate you and Martin because I absolutely love your work and I love the legacy that you're going to leave for many people. So thank you so much for joining me today. And for those who would like to know more about the accreditation process, we'll be having a 3-day live training in Melbourne in November, and we'll also be having a 3-day live training in Noosa in December on the 7th, 8th and 9th. If you are interested in developing these skills as a leader, or I even think, Judy, just, you know, in relationships, for people to learn these skills is such a great thing, because we're all leaders of our own life. So any other final thoughts or gems to share with everyone?
No, I just encourage you to go along to the training. And as Kath says, even if you never use the tool in your coaching, the very training will challenge you and increase your awareness about all of these important skills that are just as important for your personal life as they are for any work life that you have. And it comes up all the time. Whenever we teach this in organisations, people immediately want to talk about how this applies to their family, how this applies to me bringing up my children, how this applies to me in my personal relationships. The relevance is just as important for life as it is for leadership.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Judy. You've been listening to Judy Purse from Roche Martin, and I'm Kathy McKenzie from Fire Up Coaching. And if you would like to know any more about Fire Up Coaching or our programs, you can ring 1-300-FIRE-UP or email us at info@fireup.com.au. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Fire Up Coaching Podcast. If you would like more information on coaching, becoming a qualified coach, or want to experience the power of coaching, call us on 1-300-FIRE-UP or head on over to the website fireupcoaching.com.au, where you will also find access to more amazing podcasts that will help you fire up, level up, and ignite the potential within you.